Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Welcome Melissa Bishop to the platform today. I don't know if you know this song or not, but I'm going to take you back just a little bit. If you don't know it, you're going to learn it quick. It just goes like this. The Spirit of God is here for you. And He is here to meet your every need. I want my prayer partners to join me across the platform. Pastor Carl and Kelly are going to lead the prayer this morning, but they're going to come up. We're going to get all of our prayer partners, our pastoral staff and wives, because the Spirit of God is here for you. He's here to transform your life. There's no other reason that we gather except to meet with God. There's no other reason except to meet with God. It isn't so that He brings us something, but it's so that we can bring to Him the sacrifice of praise. It is so that we can bring to Him the sacrifice of praise. And I'll tell you, one of the great sacrifices, and it's really a great deal. The thing He wants most of all for us to sacrifice is ourselves, to die daily so that He can live through me. Because you see, for me to live is for me to die. That's what God's Word teaches. For me to live eternally, truly live, is to die to myself. And that's what He's asking us to do, is to lay it all down. This morning, if you have a need, if there's something in your, you're just going through and you're ready to just push forward. If that's you, I want you to begin to come forward. We have prayer partners with you that believe in physical healing. They believe in financial healing. They believe in the supernatural. They believe that God is ready to transform your life. If that's you, if you're looking for wisdom, He said to a man, ask me. I'll give it unto you generously without bias or prejudice. If you look for wisdom, you give it. You ask, I give it. If that's you this morning, whatever your need is, just begin to make your way forward right now. Just right now, we're going to take the time. There's nothing more important right now than what God is doing in this place. Just step forward, find somebody that believes in prayer. Every one of these across the platform will pray with you in faith believing. If you're not stepping forward this morning, just reach your hand out. Just reach your hand out in the name of Jesus Christ. Just reach your hand out and begin to pray. God, who am I supposed to pray for? Who am I supposed to pray for at the front of this building? We got children, we got adults, we got young people, we got seniors. We've got people of strong faith that want to pray with you and partner with you. We got people of strong faith that want to pray with you and partner with you. In the name of Jesus Christ, step out in faith. Richard and Janice, if you'll come up here also as prayer partners, Richard and Janice, right here. There you go. In the name of Jesus Christ, He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus gave a command when Lazarus came out of that grave. But He didn't just give the command. He gave Lazarus the command, come forth. But then He gave the command. The next command was to everyone else around Him. Just as what Jesus said, now loose him and let him go. The command was for those around the miracle to participate in the miracle, because those things, those grave clothes that were around Lazarus represented death. It represented a bondage. And Jesus said, now that's your part. His part was to obey the command, to come out, to come forth. But then your part is to circle around those who need prayer, those who are in the battle, those who are fighting for their lives. That's our part. And Jesus looked right at those around Him and said, loose him, you do it, and let him go, because he's going to need your assistance. Why? Because he can't breathe if you don't let him out of the grave clothes. Just continue to pray. Call on God. For those of you who are in the back, just stretch your hands out and pray for someone. Pray for someone. If nothing else, pray for yourself. God, place a passion in me. Place a passion within me. Place a passion within me. Do you know? Do you know there is? God, place a passion in me. The song goes like this. There is a river, and it flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees the soul from sin. Oh, won't you come to these waters? He's inviting you this morning, for there is a vast supply. What gives? There is a river that never shall run dry. Let's take it up a half a step. Here we go. Let's take it up. There is a river that flows from deep within. He has filled you this morning, and it comes from within. You're there. A fountain that frees, come on, let's sing it, my soul from sin. If you know it, sing it to him loud. Won't you come to these waters? Well, there is a vast supply. Oh, there is a river that never shall run dry. Now give the Lord a huge hand. Give him a huge hand. Father, we worship you. There's this river, God, that keeps flowing through us, and it flows into us. God, teach us never, never to be. Teach us never to be a dead sea where something fresh goes in and it stays there and it begins to die. God, teach us never to be that dead sea, but to be a river that the Spirit of God can flow through. And whenever we're around someone else, God, cause us to be a person of influence to life and mercy and happiness and wholeness and holiness. Two different things. Life, happiness, wholeness, and holiness. Two different things. God, teach us. Teach us. Pull in next to us and flow through us as a river. There is a river, and God's word teaches about that river. And it makes the city of God. It surrounds the city of God, and it's a river that the Spirit, only the Spirit, flows through. And when we shut off that river, we begin to dry up. And we're not producing the type of fruit. Do you remember when Jesus walked along with the disciples and he saw the fig tree? And he looked up and he called it out for what it was. It was a fig tree that was no longer producing what it was created for. And Jesus cursed it and it died. Do you remember that? Get the picture. Jesus cursed it because it wasn't producing its purpose of creation. And he killed it. And the disciples were more caught up with and this is what they said to each other. Did you see how fast that thing died? Instead of, I guess we better get the message. I'll go to this mic. I guess we better get the message. We have a purpose. There is a purpose for our existence. Stand, everybody stand up just for a second. There's a purpose. Everybody say, I have a purpose. I have a purpose. I exist. I was created, not on accident, but on purpose, with purpose. I have purpose. And I want to live out that purpose. In the name of Jesus. today. Change my heart, O God. Create in me a new heart. A new heart. And I want to discover that purpose. Breathe it into me in Jesus' name. Now, do you mean that? Then give the Lord a huge hand. Yes. Woo. Give our band a wonderful hand. What a great day. Hallelujah. Hey, buddy. Power of God, man. Love you. Everybody have a seat just for a second. Man, I don't know. I'm telling you, when the Spirit of God moves like that, I just look around and go, okay, God, whatever you want to do. Here you go. Here you go. You do it. You do it. You are here for a purpose. Now, let me just be real with you. Today, I forgot my Bible at home. How you like that? But I didn't forget my Bible. Got an NIV? Anybody got an NIV? Turn to Isaiah chapter 6 and hand it to me, so I'm not hunting it down. I'm just being real with you guys. Sometimes things happen. Isaiah chapter 6. Large print, right? Oh, my Lord, he gave me two Bibles. I love it. I love it. Yes, it is. It is my two favorite translations. When Gina first saw this this title for the message, how many read it? She called me. She called me because it came over, you know. Is that a typo? She really did. No, she was serious. Gina never calls me about my titles. I said, what did it say? Belonging trumps following. I said, no, that's right. She said, you're not going that direction. I said, not political. No, that word existed and phrase and intent existed long before that. No, belonging trumps. And that may be Trump is his last name, our president's last name, but that's not where I'm going today. So if you thought I was getting political, no. In Jesus' name, I have a king. Get this, Jesus trumps Trump. And he will. Yeah, he'll always do that. So I'm not getting political. I don't do that. But let me just share with you this whole idea of there were actually, in Jesus' day, there were thousands of followers. I know that because the Bible says it in the Gospels, a couple of different places in the Gospels. At one point, it recorded, by the way, I get this, that it recorded all the men who had attended and took into account that, and the families attended too. You see, men were counted in those days, and the ladies, the wives, and the children were referred to. Thank God Jesus came along, aren't you? He took a woman at a well who's a Samaritan woman in the Jewish eyes, this woman is a dog. And Jesus is talking to her and giving value to her and speaking life into her and breathing into her. Jesus spoke to children and he said to the crowds, if you want to come into my kingdom, you got to be like these. Because this is the kingdom of God. Such as this is the kingdom of God. Jesus gave value to women. Jesus gave esteem to women in culture. Jesus gave value to children, and Jesus taught the care of children, represented it well, and when they tried to get to him and the disciples were stopping him, he said, no, don't you dare do anything, get the big picture here, that keeps children from seeing the real Jesus. Now that's the essence of what he was telling the disciples, suffer the little children. You know King James? Let me give it to you. Don't you do anything that would ever not allow children to get to me. Because do you know there's an awful lot that's been done to children through the years that just fogs up the ability to get to who this merciful, gracious God is. But thousands followed Jesus in the day of Christ. I mean, literally 10 to 15,000 at a shot would follow him. And when he was done feeding them, and I'm just going to kind of give it a callous, there were those that were serious about Christ. They were serious about who he was, believing who he was, trusting who he was, declaring who he was. Did you notice I finally got to the result of all of that is declaring who Christ is, sharing who Christ is, and giving him away. There were those that were like that. You ever seen our rings of commitment in our 101 class? There's the community, the rings. There's five rings. The community, That's out there. Then there's another ring just inside, and I'm going to be honest with you, I just went blank. Pam, what's the next? When somebody gets it, there's the community. There's the those who are in. They'll attend Christmas and Easter. The crowd. Thank you. The crowd. Yell it loud. Don't leave me hanging. The crowd. So there's the community. There's the crowd. And then there is that next inner circle. Can you name it? Thank you. Congregation. And all three outer rings are consumers. And then the two inner circles, remember we teach it. The two inner circles are the what? No, that's center. That's the center. What's committed? And then what's the next one in? Core. The two inner circles are the investors. The three outer circles are consumers. Remember that. Okay? Three outer circles are consumers. In other words, what does this church do for me? The two inner circles, the committed and the core, what do they say? What can I do for my church? What gifts do I have that I bring into the kingdom? So those are investors. Those are the ones who pour in and sacrifice and serve. And you see, a lot of those that were following Christ were on those three outer circles. They heard about him. Every once in a while we'll go see his tricks. We know we're going to get fed because that's kind of the thing he does. And you know, last time he did it, you know, out of a few fish and loaves, he fed 15,000 people and then had 12 baskets. The rumor was, and the Bible says this, by the way, that he had 12 baskets left over. There's more than enough in the kingdom of God. In the lion's share, the lion of the tribe of Judah, there is more than enough left over. Because it still represents those who weren't there. You see, if there would have been 20, there'd have still been more than enough. If there had been 25, there would have been more than enough. Because he is a God that just doesn't produce barely enough. He's the one who gives more than enough. More than I could ever hope for or imagine. Ephesians chapter 3. More than I could ever imagine or hope for. He does for me. It's what God's word says. Are you all asleep? Okay. Remember the circles. Remember the circles. The outer three are consumers. The inner two are investors. Just a little basic vision casting here as well, because I want to make sure everybody knows where we're at. By the way, didn't Melissa do a fantastic job today? I love that girl. Welcome. We're going to draft you. We're drafting you. So all of these followers are these people that would come after Christ. And when Christ was done on one occasion, he told the disciples, you know, I've told you the story. He tells the disciples, now get in the boat and come across we're going to go to the other side of the lake. And they all get in the boat and he goes to sleep. And you know the storm story where Jesus calms the storm. He calms the waves. He calms the seas. Everybody remember that story. When he gets to the other side, what happened? What'd they find? A massive group out of that 15,000 go, now, they didn't whistle, hopefully, but they went all the way around the lake and met Jesus on the other side. You see, there was a lot of reasons they did that. There were those that were kind of the voyeuristic. They just loved it. You got to watch this guy. I mean, you never know what this guy is going to do. He could grow a limb at any time on somebody. Some blind guy may get up and, you know, have you ever heard the song, If you don't believe, the whole song lists all these miracles that Jesus did. And he says, you know, if you don't believe me, ask the blind man. He saw it all. I love that. But they were following him. They were following him. But in the end, Jesus got back down to the 12. Because you see, many followed. Only a few, called a remnant, belonged to Jesus, really belonged to Jesus. This was an investor issue. How do I know that? Because many ran when Jesus' popularity started to fall. And Roman guards are coming out. I don't want to be near him. Oh, no, Roman guards. Nope, I don't want to be associated with that guy. I never saw him, even one of his own. His closest. Of the three closest, Peter, James, and John. He's one of the inner three. Said, oh, I don't know him. I'll take your ear off, but don't take mine. You remember the story? When they came to get Jesus, Peter took a lopped an ear off of a Roman soldier. Then later, he denied that, of course, Jesus healed the Roman soldier. But just get this picture. Jesus looked at his disciples and he says, will you leave me too? Are you going to leave me too? You see, there is a difference in belonging to the kingdom and just following. And it's an investor versus a consumer. What does church do for me? What does this Jesus do for me? And I'm going to tell you straight as I can. The church in America has become a consumer church. The church in America has become a consumer church. How do I like the music? I don't like my music at my church. I can't tell you how many people walk up to me and say, seriously, they don't go to this church. But they'll walk up to me and say, I just had it this week. I don't even like my new pastor. I don't learn anything. Well, clearly, that's true. I don't like the music. I don't get anything from it. You're not supposed to get anything from it. It's supposed to flow out of you, the sacrifice of praise. That's the whole sacrifice of praise. Can I just tell you something? That, remember the song? Do you remember the song that was written in the last, 10 years, 15 years? He's talking about, he eliminated the music actually in his church. He wrote a song, it's not about a song. You remember the song I'm talking about? It's not about a song. Here, I'm doing charades. Okay. I say it again. Yeah, and so I bring you more than a song. Do you remember that phrase? I bring you more than a song. Well, I bring you more than a song. It's not about getting in worship. And that writer who wrote that song got something there, a truth. It was a freeing thing. Say it again. The heart of worship. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Thank you. Y'all didn't know you're here to fill in my lines, did you? Just, it keeps you engaged, I will tell you that. It does keep you engaged. I'm coming back to a heart of worship because it's all about you. It's all about you. I bring you more than a song. Why? Because it's more than about a song. It's about, do you know if there's no music? Do you know that the writer of that song was leading worship? He actually stopped music in his congregation. I am told, could be wrong, Google it. I could be wrong. Could have been a week, could have been a month. I was told a month. They stopped all music style worship and they made the entire Sunday morning before the teaching just no music. Just about coming in and worshiping and practicing the presence of God and enjoying the power of God without any music to incite emotion. Just more than a song, because music became so divisive in America, in the church. You know, the world doesn't care. Seriously. They love old time rock and roll. Some people love jazz. Some people love the funky stuff. Some people love rap. Some people love all those different choir type music. Easy, listen. You remember the old K-E-Z-K? Woo. But anyway, elevator music. We used to call it, I used to relax just as I'd sail up all those elevator floors. By the time I got done, it was like, give me some old-time rock and roll, for crying out loud. The music just fills my soul, you know, that whole thing. You know, but there is this thing that we have bought into the idea of the American church that somehow we have to be pleased by the performance of our pastor. We have to be, because he has to feed us. I got news. It's called self-feeding. Each one of us, when Jesus came, he filled us with his Holy Spirit. Each of us are personally responsible to get into God's Word and to start belonging to something and stop following, but actually belong to something. Very much like what happened with Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. You wondered if I was ever going to get there, didn't you? Isaiah chapter 6, New International Version. It goes like this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Verse 2, above him were seraphs, each with 6 wings. With 2 they covered their faces. With 2 they covered their feet, and with 2 they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now this is Isaiah, a godly man. We're not talking about a bum like me just walking out of a bar. We're talking about Isaiah, the prophet. I said the prophet Isaiah. This is what he sees in his vision. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And listen to his response to the holy presence of God. Woe unto me. Woe unto me. In the Message Bible, I love this. It says, I'm as good as dead. He declared in the holy presence of God, woe unto me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. What's the significance of that? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart, it's a reflection of the heart. Our words are a reflection of our hearts. Our words are a reflection of our value system that comes out of our hearts. And I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord God Almighty. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand. Listen to this. Which he had taken from the with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. The power of God, when we actually come in and belong to Jesus Christ. I mean, the power of God actually comes into you and he cleanses you. He sears the sin away. The Bible says he not only paid for our sin, but he also paid for the guilt. He owns it. The shame is gone because the angel that's represented in this vision, Isaiah had a deep encounter with God greater than he had ever had. If you think you've been in church for 50 years and it's as good as it, Earl, it's not as good as it's going to get, is it? It's going to get better, isn't it? It just gets better and better and better and better because God is not into, listen to this, God is not into information, God is into translation. God is into transformation. He's not into information. Oh, I read 3 chapters last night. What'd you get? Oh, Jesus loves me. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's a deep revelation in itself. But that's milk. I'm sorry, and to me it's a steak too, I'm sorry, because Jesus loves me is a really great steak, because I keep coming back to you really do love me. I figured this out, you actually really love me. I don't get it, but I receive it. I said I don't get it, but I do receive it. Woe unto me, I'm ruined. What happens? Let me tell you, when we see the power of God, when we actually come into the presence of God, and I don't care if you've, this happened to me in 96, I've told many of you the story. When I came into the presence of God in Evangel Temple, Kansas City, Missouri, and something happened through that Spanish-speaking missionary, something so unique happened, in 5 minutes of that dude preaching, the power of God fell on this place, and I am not into effect. Everybody knows that, right? I'm not searching for the effect. I'm looking for the cause. I'm looking for the causer. Because when the causer's in the house, the effects come. We don't fake it. We don't create an atmosphere. We don't try and work people up. I've got a rule with my prayer partners. If I ever see anybody push anybody, that'll be the last day that person prays as a prayer partner. We don't need to create it. God's good enough. He doesn't need you and me to push anybody. You ever been pushed? I have. I pushed back. I know a guy one time that saw a guy, this was a pastor of worship. One time he saw a guy coming at him. He was going to lay hands on him and he's poured a bunch of oil all over women's dresses. He poured a bunch of oil all over the forehead. Some of you remember this day, in our history at a different church. And that guy came after our pastor of worship. And when I got to the pastor of worship, he's laying there on the ground and he looks up at me and he winks. The next day in the staff meeting, I said, what happened to you? He said, I took a dive. I saw him coming. We don't need that. I'm not into I'm not into that effect. Oh, we had people falling. We had people shouting. But everybody walked out the same, dead. I'm not looking for the shouting and it'll be there when we have revelation. So how about the causer? Isaiah runs into the causer. Isaiah has a vision of the causer, and he belonged at a deeper level than he ever had. And by the way, the end of this story is simply this. At the end of it all, Isaiah, before, The coal was touched to his tongue by the angel. Before that, he was in shame. He was felt filthy. He felt just, couldn't even look at the presence of God. And when that cleansing took place, that river that came into his spirit, all of a sudden, he said, God speaks to him, now whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. I can't wait to get into the battle. Send me. You ought to give the Lord a huge hand. You ought to give the Lord a huge hand. This is about belonging to the Master. The Master. Can I tell you how we know that the early disciples really belonged? They were executed for the cause. Paul writes in his last letter of the book of Philippians, he's about to face a beheading. And he's writing words like this, you know, I'm caught between here and there, to live as Christ, to die as gain. I want to go there, but I love being here with you because I get to preach the gospel. I get to give hope. I get to see transformation. I get to see translation. I get to see, I love to experience, but to live is Christ, and but to die is gain. Do you hear the fight that's going on in his spirit? I'm about to die. They're going to cut my head off. That's not exciting. That's really bad. That could hurt. I'm just being real with you guys. If it's me, I'm the one crying, calling you, saying, can you call a judge and get a pardon? Can you? No, these guys were like, I gladly lay it down. Peter was sacrificed upside down because he said he was unworthy to die in the same manner that his master was executed. Do I need to change mics? Are we good? They died for the cause. You and I have, God's only asking us to live for the cause. It's not about me, and it's not about following the church as long as they do what I like. There's a lot of churches empty today because somebody didn't do what I liked. We started a traditional service. There you go, Pastor Mike. Thank you. Pastor Carl, thank you. We started a traditional service because I really felt that there were so many through the years that kept coming saying, you know, we love that traditional stuff. That's one of the songs that I sang today. There is a river. We love that traditional stuff. We just want traditional. So we started a traditional service. It started out with 40, got down to 30. On a good day, we got down to 20. It was 11 o'clock every first Wednesday of the month. Then we got down to 8. When we got down to 4, I had more on the platform and in the booth than I had in the congregation. You see, we think that we know what we want. And I'm not here to talk to you about your preference of music. That's not the bigger point. Is we want to be pleased and have it, what's the old song, Burger King? My way. And we tend to, out of preferences, and you know, I'm not just talking about music, we tend to want it our way in the kingdom, period. And that's not really, it's called an investor. You see, when people walk in here, the first several visits, if not the first several months, they determine, what does this church do for me? And rightfully so, by the way, at some level. There's an assessment that needs to take place. What does this church do for my children? Are they providing a real experience with Christ in those children's ministries? Are my babies safe in the nursery? Do I really trust that? There's an assessing that's going on. Is the teaching that's here as a whole, is it something that I believe is soundly biblical and safe for my family to sit under for longevity? But at some point, big picture, in the kingdom, it's about investment. How many of you checked your McDonald's hamburger stock this morning before you left the house? How many of you? Why not? You have nothing invested in it. You haven't got a penny to lose. There's nothing there. But how many of you really checked into the children's ministry when you brought your children here and you started checking into the teachers back there? And how many of you really care that you know those teachers? You do if you have children. Why? Because your greatest investments are down that hall and in that next room called the nursery and sitting over here in the youth department. Because those that matter most to you, your greatest investment, your greatest treasures are sitting in this room. Wow, I bet you checked St. Charles River Church stock long before you made a decision to stay here. Because you see, you got a dog in the race or a horse in the race, or you have investment there and it matters to you. And I tell you, we're going to dismiss here in just a few minutes, but I want you to bow your heads for just a minute. Melissa, if you'll join me on the platform, that would be great. I want you to just bow your heads for a couple minutes. Because I'm going to ask you something. Have you been a follower from a distance? Have you been that person that would say, you know, I don't really want to do anything. I just really love coming to this church, and I love being around Christian people, and because I kind of like going over to other great churches, and that's great. I love that. But when we don't make commitment and sow seed of root, we will always be a follower. I'm not saying you won't go to heaven. I'm not saying that at all. But wouldn't you rather be a productive individual in the kingdom that the Spirit of God uses and raises up with purpose instead of just a follower that whenever some miracles come along, you're the benefactor of the miracles? Wouldn't you rather be someone that says, I have seen the King. I have seen the glory, and woe unto me. I felt conviction in His presence. But in that conviction, He comes into me like a river of righteousness and holiness, and He brings something so refreshing to me. And He fills me with life, hope, a holiness that is not a rule book, but a presence issue. It's not a rule issue. It's God's presence is the issue. That's what holiness is. And He brings me a wholeness. He makes me whole again. I haven't felt whole in a long time because of things I've been through. The abuses that people have put me through. The words that they've said about me. The treatments. The legal things they've done against me. I haven't felt whole in a long time. But when I meet the Master and I look into His eyes, I will once again feel whole. Because I am in the presence of God. Not because the situation has died down and Jesus calmed the storm and the waves calmed down. Not because He did it, but because I'm with the one who can do it. That's where the peace comes. If that's you this morning, no one's looking around. I just simply want to ask you, would you like for me to pray with you right where you're sitting? That the power of God so awakens you. And you have an Isaiah chapter 6 moment. I don't care how long you've been in church. I don't care if you're a pastor. I was on the pastoral staff when I finally experienced something of a vision of who God really was. And I was by myself in a room of 3,000 people, pastors and their spouses up in Kansas City. And I really met with God. It was my Isaiah 6 moment. And He brought me back different than I went there. People in church were saying, what is it about you? There's something about you. What did you do? Did you get saved? In essence, I really met the Master. He revealed a side of me. He didn't just give me information. He filled me with revelation and transformation. If that's you, raise your hand. I'm not going to call you forward. I just want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Yes, yes, yes. Hands all over. Yes. Keep them up just for a second. Hands all over. Just keep them up for a second. Hands all over this room. Awesome. Great decision, guys. That's a great decision. Let me tell you something. You'll never be sorry that you met the real Master. You'll never be sorry. And Jesus, the same as He said to the children, don't do anything that would keep them from getting to me. He's saying to me as well, these are my kids. Don't do anything that keeps them from getting to me. Give them every opportunity to come to me. Those of you that raised their hand, pull it down just for a second. Go ahead and pull it down. Heavenly Father, stand with me for just a second. Heavenly Father, I'm asking You that You would so touch those who raise their hand. They want a fresh revelation of the Master. They want to experience the angel bringing with Sarah, with tongs out of the altar, that cleansing coal that sears away guilt and unrighteousness and shame. They're tired of living in the shame of whatever that might have been, the moment or the stress of what those moments represent in their lives. Whatever it is, God, I ask you, set them free. And then when you say to that individual, who am I going to send? That individual is the first to say, here am I, Lord. Send me, because I am free. I am free, because he whom the Son sets free is truly free indeed. Give the Lord a huge hand. Give the Lord a huge hand. Give him a hand. Come on, give him your very best.
Go ahead and have a seat. So we get ready to take the offering. Before we take the offering, if this is your first time attending St. Charles River Church, we are grateful and honored to have you today, and we have an insert in the bulletin. We ask that you would fill that out. If you're able to get it filled out in time to get it into the offering, that would be great. If not, please turn it in to the Welcome Center immediately outside the auditorium. And just so Pastor Barry can thank you for being here today, and we are honored that you are here. Please check your bulletin for any announcements. The main one we want to continue to put before you is our all-church event on August 5th. We're reaching out into the community, the festival that we're going to have up here that day. And as I said, it takes a lot of people to make this happen. So there's information in the bulletin. There's information out on the table out there. We have a lot of supplies we need. We're going to start reaching out into the neighborhoods around here so that we can fill these chairs. And it's not just so that we can fill the chairs for people to be there, but it's so that we are reaching them for the kingdom. And we want to find a way to try to get out and get them, just so we can get God's message to them. And that's what we're going to do on August 5th. As the welcome team comes forward, Pastor Barry had talked to you last week about, you know, 2 weeks ago we had an urgent need, and we reached out during the week, and some people really responded. They stepped up, they responded, and helped us meet that need. But as we said, this is ongoing. It's something that happens, you know, this is every week. And all we are asking folks to do is just examine their hearts and what God is leading them to do. You know, God has done some amazing things here outside the SCRC family to help. I don't know if you all noticed, several weeks ago, there was our parking lot was resurfaced, restriped. There was no... SCRC did not put any money towards that. There was someone from outside the family who saw a need, and they've done this for us before, and they said, we want to take care of your parking lot for you, and they did that. And for those of you who maybe really aren't really fully aware of the partnership that we have with Joy Community and the way that they help us out, they help us out financially because they help us out because they just don't presume that, okay, hey guys, thanks, we're going to use your facilities and that's great. No, they help us out financially. And beyond that, even little things. So I don't, if you remember last week, if you were here, we didn't have that screen available to us because that monitor was not working. And Scott Bowles was up here this week replacing a bulb in that monitor so that we could have that working. And that is not cheap. And not only that, as you can see, it's a little dimmer. I talked to Scott this morning. He's not happy about that. So he's going to come back up this week because he wants it looking. He wants that one looking like that one. But that's the kind of stuff that they do. They pitch in. They are truly our partners. And so what we're asking the SCRC family to do is just continue to examine what we're doing, what our part is, when we have this opportunity to give back to the Lord each and every Sunday. So, Father, we thank you for... You've met so many needs for us individually, as a church, Lord. And this is the time for us to just to honor that and to give back to you so that we can continue to do your work. And as I said, Lord, we just ask that each person here would just examine their hearts, put this part of their life into your hands, and to be led by you. And we just pray for your blessings over this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you.
What would you do if you lost your job and were suddenly unable to pay rent or your mortgage? If you found yourself not only unable to secure a new job, but faced the reality of losing your home entirely? As awful as that sounds, the cycle that begins to form when someone faces this reality can be even worse. How do you secure housing without a job? How do you get a job if you have no address to put on your job application? What if your work history is limited and references are too far in the past to do any good? For the more than 2,000 people who are homeless in the St. Louis area, this struggle is far too real. What if there was something that could break the cycle? What if there was a place that created job opportunities for the homeless, inspired them to achieve their potential, and helped them get back on their feet? That's exactly what BridgeBread is. BridgeBread offers supportive employment that meets the homeless right where they are. This modest income can enable a baker to become housed again in a place where attitudes change, work habits are built, and skills are learned. The bread is delicious, the environment is contagious, and the customers are inspired. Partnering churches not only enjoy hand-rolled cinnamon rolls and other artisan breads, but passionately spread awareness of the struggle for those who are homeless, touching the lives of the bakers as well as those in their congregations. Volunteers get the opportunity to meet the bakers and are sure to become instant fans of BridgeBread, sharing the mission that there is hope in the baking. This hope is demonstrated in connected community between volunteers and bakers, churches and customers, and it works. 110 weekly loaves equals one job that leads to one person with a home. Who knew that enjoying that cinnamon roll, serving those dinner rolls, or giving a loaf of bread to the new neighbor could play such a key role in changing lives? One loaf at a time.
So as you know, this is the fourth Sunday of the month, and every fourth Sunday we get our sweet tooth filled. We have our BridgeBread out there. So we ask that you'd stop by, and we'll thank you all for the support that you're providing us, minister. We have kind of found our, found our pathway of the right time of how much to get and when to do it, and you guys are doing great and responding, and we thank you so much for that. And for the work that you're doing with the folks, the bakers there, it's amazing. So thank you so much. Let's go ahead and stand, and we will be dismissed. Father, we thank you so much for the time of worship and message and the word that you have for us. And more importantly, Lord, that just your presence over this service today and over these people. And we just pray for your blessings as we go about the rest of our day and into the week, Lord. What we learned today and what touched us is that we're able to take that out to others, Lord, and share that with them. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's revival and it's spreading like a wildfire in my heart. A Sunday morning, hallelujah, and it's lasting all week long. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, once you choose it, you can't lose it. There ain't nothing gonna steal my joy. I got an old church choir singing in my soul. I've got a sweet salvation and it's beautiful. I've got a heart overflowing.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.